Ajamil boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Purport. For many years, material scientists have tried to go to the moon, but they are still unable to go there. However, the spiritual airplanes from the spiritual planets can take one back home, back to Godhead, in a second. The speed of such an air spiritual plane can only be imagined. Spirit is finer than the mind, and everyone has experience of how swiftly the mind travels from one place to another. Therefore, one can imagine the swiftness of the spiritual form by comparing it to the speed of the mind. In less than even a moment, a perfect devotee can return home back to Godhead immediately after giving up his material body. So here we are seeing the final development in the Krishna consciousness of Ajamil. That when he was young, he was a dutiful brahmana, and he was performing his duties, he was associating with the devotees, he was performing devotional activities. So he was situated in bhajana kriya, he was situated in service to the Lord. But we see, it appears he was not very thoughtful about all these things. Just he was very pious, very well trained, you know, good family, and that. And so he was doing these things. Just by good association, he was doing these things. And he had the feeling that this is very nice. So he was doing it. But we see that when his senses became agitated upon seeing the Shudra and the prostitute together, then he forgot all these things. This is generally means that the thought of the thought on this was so fixed, or the thought about this was not very deep. His performing his different activities, he hadn't thought deeply about the meaning of these things. So we see this is the weakness here in just being situated only in Bhajana Kriya. It's not considered steady. It is still weak. It's a weak position, though it is, of course, far better than anything that the material world can offer, even better than the position of Brahma or Indra or the different lords of the different directions. But still, the weakness is there. So now we see that after he was saved by the Vishnudutas, then the next stage of his devotional development took place. That Ajamil then started to see and lament his previous sinful activities. He started to see the difference. Rather than just being concentrated, he's following the devotional principles without really deeply seeing it in the total picture. Because the total picture then begins when you start to see that before I was so sinful. I have done so many terrible things, either in this life, past lives, just that I'm here is terrible. Because that means that I have to have become envious of the Lord to be here. That we wanted to be the enjoyer, that we're here. So anyone, even the most pious person, still they're here in the material world. And that starts with giving up our relationship with the Lord. But Ajamil then had plenty he could think about, that he had given up such a nice situation, that he was in performing devotional service with a nice family, and he was very well situated. He gave all that up for sinful activities, living with the prostitute. So he's lamenting that. So this means now he's starting to discriminate. Rather than just see, okay, here's the devotional activities, but now he's starting to discriminate. That this is devotional activities I'm situated now, and before I was not. I was doing nonsense. So then one starts to see the difference. Then we see the next stage he went into. So this is called anartha nivritti. You start to understand the anarthas in the heart. You start to see, yes, they are there. Not I'm just performing devotional service, everything's all right. Yes, everything's all right because we're properly situated. But still, we have to recognize that we have done nonsense. We ourselves. Otherwise, if we don't recognize we have done nonsense, then naturally, because the intelligence means to discriminate, you know, right from wrong and good from bad, all these things, because Krishna's created it, we will try to find that in others. Then we become critical of others, because we will see, yes, oh, he was such a nonsense before. Rather than, yes, I was such a nonsense before. Then one starts to actually value devotional service. Because otherwise it's nice, you're doing it, it comes very easily. One is purified, one is pious, and it happens. You get up in the morning and you do japa and you go to the program and you do some service. But then when some other very strong alternative is given, that slight taste that's there from situation and mode of goodness, and that is overcome. Because now he sees the sinful activities, the sense gratification, the opportunity is there, and he takes it. So here we discriminate. Yes, before I was doing so much nonsense, and now here is devotional service. How fortunate I am. By the grace of Guru and Krishna, then we have been situated in this path. So it's a great fortune. by their grace, this Sadhu Sangha Lava Matra, this one moment, the seed has been planted. Now it's very interesting if we look at this analogy, because we always see it says the seed has been planted. It never says, yes, the full-grown, full-bloomed, fructifying creeper of love of Godhead is put into the heart, is transferred to the heart. No, it says a seed is planted. So then what does this imply? It means it has to grow. And Lord Chaitanya says, you have to water it. Means you've been given a seed, now you can do everything with it. The seed contains everything. And the instructions how to grow it, what is the proper conditions of the soil or the heart that it has to grow in, how to water it, and then, most important, how to take the weeds out. So that means now this seed has been given to us because we are an individual. We made the choice individually, on our own, without any help, to decide to give up the service to the Lord. So now we, on our own, have to decide, I want to take it up again. So it's very significant, this point, that the seed has been planted. That means it's not just someone else to do everything for me. No, they are instructing us, and now I have to take this instruction very seriously and follow it. Then this seed will sprout and start to grow. And in this way, it will grow through the material world, back to the lotus feet of Krishna, then produce flowers, then fruits of love of God. But we ourselves have to mind this plant. And so now, this is what Ajamil had not done. He had not minded this plant. The weeds had grown very quickly, and he did not notice it. He did not, because it was going, it's simple, it's nice, yeah. You know, you come to the dham, everything's perfect, nothing goes wrong. You know, we don't have to worry about all these things. And when something happens, I mean, what's going on? It's the spiritual world, right? Nothing goes wrong. So we have to be very, very careful that we see the weeds have to be addressed. So Ajamil now at this point is addressing these weeds. Yes, all these weeds are there in the heart. And devotional service is so wonderful that I have been given this before by the associates there, and again reminded of this by the Lord's associates, the Vishnu Dutas. And now we are taking it up. So then what's the next step after this? When we see the two, we discriminate, then we see of the two, we've made the choice, the positive choice of devotional service is actually of value. Right? Before he had the choice, he was doing devotional service, and he saw the prostitute. And seeing the both, he chose the prostitute. So this is the Tathasta Shakti. You have that choice. So now again, now he's seeing, I've done sin in the past. I'm a nonsense. And devotional service is so wonderful. And the devotees of the Lord are so wonderful. Now he's making that positive choice. So this is the important element of anartha nivritti, is you address the anarthas and you decide, I do not want them. And why don't we want them? Because devotional service is so much more fortunate and wonderful. Therefore, he takes that. Then when that happens, this is called nishtha, where you're fixed in devotional service. So you can only be fixed in devotional service if you make the choice. Right? A child is born in a family, good family, nicely trained. They grow up, but they have not made the choice themselves that, yes, this is what I want to do. They're doing it. They're nice, they're pious, they're innocent. The parents have shown them, the other community members are there, but they still haven't made the choice themselves. When at 16, they make that choice, yes, this is what I want to do. That means they themselves, now as an adult, has made this choice. That is significant. The potential is great when they're pious and doing nicely, but when they actually decide themselves, that is where the real start of devotional service takes firm root in our own heart. Krishna, of course, Prabhupada points out that once you've done anything, Krishna is not going to let you go. So Krishna, from within the heart, instructed, you know, guided Ajamil to name his heart his son, youngest son, Narayan. So Krishna doesn't let one go. But still, this is when one becomes fixed. So So now, then we see he became fixed in this and decided now with determination, I'm going to take up devotional service. And then he left for Haridwar to firmly fix himself in Krishna consciousness. It's interesting, Prabhupada points out that going to Haridwar, he says we don't have a center in Haridwar, but we have in Vrindavan and in Mayapur. And he specifically says this Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir, you should take advantage of the association, of the facility to chant Hare Krishna. So then, the next stage is he tried to remove now, actively remove from the heart the desire for sense gratification. He's trying to work on that. He doesn't want this sense gratification. He just wants devotional service. So in Nishtha, he's made the determination, I will do this. In the next stage, he has made, now he has decided, I want to remove, I want to, all these things go. So the gross is given up. He's left the prostitute, he's left that materialistic whole family situation that he, you know, created, artificially created for his sense gratification. And now he has become fixed in service. And he has decided to remove these subtle things within the heart. So this is the process of ruchi, that you replace, because of the concentration now on devotional service in a determined manner, then that taste for devotional service comes. And then we give up Danam Janam Sundarim. We give that up. Then it says, then he became, you know, very, just totally absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So this is asakti. He was very fixed in this. Completely fixed and always remembering and always absorbed in the Lord. And then at this point, then he got the association of the Vishnu Dutas again. They came. And at this point, then he regained his original form. And then now we see he has entered the airplane and is going back to Godhead. So we see here, it's also significant that it mentions here that went directly to the abode. Prabhupada says in a moment. Now it's being discussed in other places in the Bhagavatam that as you go back to Godhead, if you want to see all the other planetary systems and what goes on and the amazing creation of Krishna, you can have a look. And even if you want to get off and take a close look, they'll let you off the airplane. You go by Indra's place, wow, look at this place, you know, check it out. You know, let's go for a Java walk here. They'll let you off there. So it's significant, it says it straight went, directly went. That means he had absolutely no interest in anything in the material world. No interest. Therefore he went straight back to Godhead. So this is the devotional process. So we see very nicely here, also significant here, he is referred to here as Vipra, Brahmana. That he was a Brahmana, he was performing devotional activities before. He gave them up for most abominable activities. And then now again he has taken up devotional service. So he's called a Vipra. So he's resituated. He's a devotee, resituates himself. They may have done so many things, but if they take up seriously devotional service, they're resituated. Very important point. Because the devotional service we see is beyond all these material considerations. It's beyond this material realm. So that is very significant. That has to be understood. Oh, another point that came up in the development, when he decided to become fixed in devotional service, he said, now I must be merciful to all other living entities. So that humility developed, respect for others. So now he's able to take up this service seriously, always chant, but he's merciful. Others. So that means, Prabhupada points out that this means he became a preacher. He tries to benefit others by in his devotional process. So this is where one becomes, when one takes that determination, that's when one becomes a fixed preacher. This is a very significant point also. Is that you become a preacher, you become very kind to others. And to respect others and be kind means one has to be humble. Then one can be fixed in preaching, be fixed in the holy name, and then one can give up sense gratification. Right? We're giving up the gross in anartha nivritti. Gross attachment is given up there. But the subtle attachment still may remain. This is why even in advanced devotee, we may see sometimes material desire seems to manifest. Because of the subtleties, unless one has removed dhanam janam sundarim, then again, they can come up. So that is comes by the humility. And that humility is there, that respect for others, then this develops very, very nicely. Then one does not have any problem. Because from subtle, growth comes. That's the way the creation works. From the subtle comes the gross. So we see is from that determined fixing oneself in devotional service, that is when Ajamil now started to dynamically advance. From the Madhyam platform, advancement is very quick. Below that, it can be slow because we get detoured, we get sidetracked by different, you know, items that are going on in the material world, either gross or subtle. Prabhupada also made this point here. Says, for many years, material scientists have tried to go to the moon, but they are still unable to go there. So he's reiterating the point he made in the fifth canto. So here is that by matter, they're trying so many different things. What he's pointing out is that if we're so interested in doing wonderful activities, then the spiritual is the most wonderful. Here, this plane can go quicker than the mind. In the material world, the fastest thing is the mind. Like that. We know the mind moves very fast. Prabhupada is saying here you can experience it, just like you can think. We're here now. You can think of one foreign country, and then you can think of another foreign country, some place. You notice that it's not immediate. There's a slight gap between them. That's the time it takes for the mind to travel. But it's very quick. I mean, very quick. So that's the speed of mind. Prabhupada says everyone has experienced it. But now here, this is quicker than that, because you've gone from here, through the universe, through all the coverings, and back to Godhead in a moment. So this is far superior to anything material that can be created, either by mechanisms or even by the Vedic mantras, the Vedic systems of yoga siddhi or Vedic mantras. So this is being pointed out. So this is the this point. It says you can only imagine it. So that means that the time between leaving this body and going back to Godhead is only a moment. So as long as we have become fixed like Ajami, because all you are fixed in is the lotus feet of the Lord, then everything comes very nicely. Any questions on this? Yes.
If you think of the spiritual world in your mind, it's only a moment to think about it. Well, the mind is gone. You're probably using that, you're a number, your mind is a number. So if you think of the spiritual world, then will your mind not be in the spiritual world?
Yes, it'll be in the spiritual world. But here, as we haven't left the coverings. This will mean within the, what we means Bauma. The Bhama Lila, that is where our mind will be going. Like that, because that we can have more of an understanding of, because it's not different. For the Lord and the spiritual residents, for them there's no difference. So the path, like the Bhagavatam, these are all the pastimes that went on here in this universe. So those places there. So we think to there. So we go to there. It's still, because when you're thinking in the spiritual realm, then you're dealing with the spiritual mind. It's not really the material. Like that. So that, again, if you're thinking of that, but generally when we think of Krishna's pastimes, we're thinking here. But in any case, to enter that can only be done because of the spiritual nature of the mind. In this, by association, by spiritual association. So in that spiritual, then it would be very quick. It's,
you mentioned that when you go back to the spiritual world, if you want, you can stop off from the heavenly planet. But then we hear that in a moment you go back to the spiritual world, but you check out the heavenly planet, then you cruise by, you're checking things out. And, yeah, then you can stop out there. But you know, that takes some time, right?
That's only if we want. Means the normal thing is we will not check this out. But it's there. Because it's Krishna's creation, the devotee may have interest. But it's mentioned that it's dangerous. Because one may get distracted or attracted. And then one may spend more time in the material world. That's why it's said that one should be totally fixed on Krishna. Krishna says at the time of leaving the body, you are fixed on Him alone. Right? It doesn't just say, if you think of me and that's it. Think of me and think of your family, or think of me and think of the heavenly planets. You go back to Godhead. He says, no, you think of me alone, exclusively. So it has to be very clear that one is thinking only of Krishna. Then going back to Godhead very quickly, just in a moment. We see it's possible. Ajamiya. Then he had, you know, spent many years in a nice condition, had given up devotional service for a long time. I mean, he was 88 here when his youngest son was born. So that he would call him must mean that he was, you know, big enough to kind of at least move around or something, that he could, you know, be worth calling. So that he had that son at 88, and, you know, he would have finished his education. He would have probably been, you know, somewhere probably in his early 20s or latest mid-20s. You know, his married young wife. And then it says his parents were getting old. He left them. So he must have been a little older, where now he would be the, you know, taking care of the house. So that means for practically 60, 70, between 60 and 70 years, he's just been absorbed in total nonsense. I mean, just sin. And then he's given this up and then gone to Haridwar. In a very short time, we see he's gone through the advanced stage of devotional service very quickly. Because his determination was so much. It's also interesting to note that the Vishnu Dutas, though he chanted, it didn't take him right at that moment. They gave him a little time so that he could fix himself very nicely in devotional service. And as soon as he was fixed, then they came. And the same persons, that's also a very nice thing, is that the care of the devotees, it wasn't, hey, we went there last time, you know, like this. It's just like they're willing to come again and again to help. So their compassion. So when we are fixed, we have that compassion of the residents of the spiritual world. We're fixed on service to the Lord. We're fixed on this like the Lord is fixed on the devotees. We are fixed on the Lord. The devotees are fixed on the Lord, then we can go to the spiritual realm. Anything else? Yeah.
I think it's in the second canto that don't you have to, or it said something about going to Sakya Loka to sort of be cleansed in some way or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the
Bhagavan was. Yeah.
Before you go to the spiritual realm. Is that the case?
Means question is on. So in the second canto, it's talking about going to Satyaloka before going back to Godhead. That's for the Astanga Yogi. If you want to take the path of Astanga Yoga, then when one leaves the body at the auspicious time, as Krishna mentions in the Gita, in the light, in the day, you know, when auspicious times and all that, when the moon is going towards the full, all these things. Then one travels through the universe and goes through the Shishumara. Shishumara is the Milky Way. So by going through that, then one is purified of all the material contaminations, whatever little traces are there. Then one becomes situated in Satyaloka. And then, depending upon the situation, you stay there until Brahma leaves his body. And then at that time, then you'll go back to the spiritual realm. So that's why Krishna is mentioning in the Gita, there's the fast path and there's the slow path. So this is the third level of the slow path. The first level is you absorb yourself in karma without attachment and just cleanse yourself of everything, and that however many lives that takes. Then you absorb yourself in jnana without understanding. You bring yourself to the platform of yoga. Then you take up the Astanga yoga process, and then by samadhi, then you go through the Shushumara to the heavenly planet. So that may take a lot of lifetimes. You know, it may take a few thousands, millions. So Krishna calls this the slow path. So now if you follow the principles of performing your activities for Krishna's satisfaction, understanding knowledge about Krishna, and then trying to always think of Krishna and chant Krishna's name, that is the fast path. So whatever is gained in karma, jnana, and yoga, you gain by the performance of bhakti. And then very quickly you go. So then you don't have to wait and go through all this. Yes.
This whole Ajamil story, narrative, it seems that the absolute essence is one thing.
Going to reveal, or are you going to
say? Maybe someone wants to say what it is.
Oh. Well, I thought you were going to say it.
I will.
Oh, I see. You're trying to make it into a speech.
Throw it out.
So, anybody wants to say what the real essence is?
Absolute
essence.
That means of which there is no doubt.
Yes, stay away from prostitutes.
That's
what you
that's a side bit.
So must it
the supreme merciful nature of the holy name. Yeah, the holy name.
The holy name.
Yeah, because Ajamil, he chanted Narayan. Mm. So this aspect cannot be overemphasized, because our capacity to achieve, you know, nishta, ruchi, shakti, bhav, prem, is unforeseeable or inconceivably difficult. But it all becomes possible regardless of what went before by chanting the holy name. So the real moral of the story is that we have to take very, very, very seriously our chanting of the holy name. And our whole movement, Prabhupada's whole mission, his entire effort when he went to America from here and chanted in Tompkins Square Park is the chanting and hearing of the holy name. And in that way, we may actually become fixed and make some real degree of advancement. By hearing very carefully and by taking shelter, because Jainam say Krishna, the name is Krishna. So by taking shelter of the holy name and seriously endeavoring to hear the holy name and putting the holy name in the center is the real thing. The real essence and moral of the story and of the entire Bhagavatam, mission, and then I forgot one thing. You know, chant completely, purely, and sincerely, then you can go to the moon.
Oh, really?
And anywhere else you want. The moon and any other place you want.
Anything else?
Looks like that's it.
Shivan Shriman Bhagavatam. Shiva Prabhupada. Jai Jai Gaur.